How are you doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Let's go ahead and pray. But before I do so, I want to introduce myself. I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church. And I say it every Sunday. I will never stop saying it. I'm so excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning here worshiping God and praising His name. And there's literally no place I'd rather be this side of heaven than right here with each and every one of you doing exactly that. We get to kick off a new series today entitled Good News, and I'll share a little bit more about that in a moment. But I want to start our series off by reading eight verses out of the book of Mark, the first chapter. And I just want you to try to remove the distractions around you, and please don't look at the distractions that are sitting next to you maybe and say you're the distraction, but let's just read eight verses of the Word of God. And there's something powerful about when somebody reads the Word of God to you, and there's just a reverence that I want to pay the Word of God right now. Can we do that? Let's do it. Mark 1, verse 1. This is the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. It began just as the prophet Isaiah had written, "Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him.'" This messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and preached that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turn to God to be forgiven. All of Judea, including all the people of Jerusalem, went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. His clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. And for food, he ate locusts and wild honey. John announced, "Someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This series that we are kicking off today, entitled Good News, it's important. It's important because I want each of us to be able to have a perspective of what this good news that is spoken about in Mark is all about. You know, when you experience good news, you usually want to go tell somebody about it. You want to call somebody. You want to run to go tell a family member or a friend or your neighbor or somebody that something good just happened. Or if you experience something good, you want somebody else to know about it. At least that's how I am. Am I in the right room? Is anybody else like that? Yes. Listen, if I go to a good restaurant, everybody I know knows about it. I take people there. I ask people to take me there. If it's my birthday, I go there. If it's a large group of people, I know that I can take people there, and they are going to be on point every single time, no matter what. And when I take people there, I tell them what to order. If they go off script, I tell them, "I told you not to order that. That's your fault." Right? Listen, if I take you to a steak place and you order chicken, that's your fault. If I take you to an Italian restaurant and you decide to order not Italian, come on. But if it's good, you tell people it's good. Now, our culture right now, if it's bad, you want to tell everybody it's bad. People have bad days. Listen, I have some restaurants that I love, but I know that there's some cooks that work there that they mail it in. But I know when the good cook's there, you go on the busy nights, he don't mess up. He knows what he's doing. Friday nights at the one spot, it's different than Thursday afternoon. It's just different. Okay? Here's what I want you to know. We are experiencing a move of God at Bridge City Church, not because of any of you. Not because of any of you. You are great. You're amazing people. You're full of joy. You're exciting to be around. I love being around all of you. The coffee's great. The air conditioning is working today. Now, it's going to get a little hot around noon. It's going to get hot in here. The air conditioning has been struggling since like 10:45 because it's getting hot outside, right? It's a black tar roof above us. The air conditioning is still good. You're still cool in here. The seats are comfy. The coffee's great, right? That's not why we're experiencing a move of God here. Here's why. It's because a living, active God is moving through you all. And it's not staying here. It's moving outside of these walls. It's going into the grocery stores that you go to. It's going into the restaurants that you eat at. It's going into the schools that you attend. It's going into the workplaces that you work at. It's going into the neighborhoods that you live in. It's going into the families that you're a part of. God is moving through you and sharing his good news with people because of what you're experiencing. Let's go back to verse 1 of Mark 1. This is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. Good news equals gospel. We complicate the gospel. We think that we have to have a doctorate in theology to be able to break down the gospel for people. The gospel is very simple. It's the good news about what God has done in your life. You were this, you are now this. You were going here, and now you're going here. Here's the good news. You were living a life that was separate of him, and now you're living a life with him. You were living a life full of depression and fear and anxiety and death, and now you're living a life full of purpose and faith and love and direction and eternity is the goal. Now listen, I know that some people are in here today and you haven't experienced the good news yet. Good. Good. You're in the right place. Why? Because you're going to hear it. You're going to hear the gospel in a simple, life-changing way today. Why? Because I'm simple. I'm not stupid. I'm simple. And I'm going to give you an illustration on how. Just a little bit. Hang tight. Now you're going to listen. The gospel is the good news of salvation through faith in Christ. And we should tell everyone about it. Your life should speak louder than your words. Who you were is not who you are, and it shouldn't be who you're becoming. Change should always be present. Share the good news in all areas of your life. If you were diagnosed with cancer and then you got a good report that you no longer have cancer, do you tell people that? Or do you keep it to yourself? Now, are there people in this room that you've ate at a good restaurant and you haven't told one soul about it? Seriously, is there anyone in here that's done that? Will you tell me? You will, please? Because I really want to know about it. Like, just keep it, you're keeping it secret. You don't want anybody else to know about it. There's some restaurants, listen, there are little holes in the wall. And people have told me, and I want to tell you about them. You would never go unless somebody told you. Those are the best ones. One of my favorite restaurants that I go to almost every year now for my birthday is in a shopping mall next to some places that you wouldn't think that that's a restaurant you'd want to go to. And I'll take you all there whenever you want to go. I'll tell you later. I don't know if I want to tell you. I don't know if I want to. The book of Mark. Let's talk about it a little bit. It's the earliest and shortest of the Gospels. It's one of the three synoptic Gospels alongside Matthew and Luke. It was written to the Romans and to the Gentiles, and it explains a lot of the Jewish customs. Let's talk about it a little bit more. There's no mention of Jesus' birth in the book of Mark. It emphasizes a lot about the actions of Jesus and miracles of Jesus, and it highlights Jesus as the Son of God and as a lowly servant. But let's talk about Mark and who Mark is. He wasn't one of Jesus' 12 disciples. He was about 12 years of age when Jesus was crucified. Don't tell me that God can't use somebody of a young age. We're going to hear later about all the students that attended the Encounter conference. So don't tell me that God can't start using somebody at a young age and encouraging them and empowering them and equipping them and beginning to use them at a young age. He was the cousin of Barnabas, a ministry partner with Paul and a disciple of Peter. Now, I want to tell you that God can use and will use anybody, and he will use you to share the good news, even if you don't have a doctorate, even if you don't have a master's, even if you don't have those things. I was somebody earlier in the beginning of the worship experience that I got overtaken with excitement and got really excited, and I heard abyss. And I was like, man, we're talking about Barabbas. And I said Barnabas. And I just went off on a tangent about Barabbas. Because I was watching all these videos this week about Barabbas. And I started talking about God could use you even if you have family members that are criminals. And as I'm talking, I was like, Barnabas and Barabbas aren't the same people. But I was like, this is a really good illustration. And I was like, only a few people are catching this, like the difference. Like, I'm just going to roll. I'm just going to keep going. I'm not going to go back and explain. I'm explaining it to you now. Here's why I'm explaining it to you. Because I want you to still have the same perspective and the same heart and the same understanding that God can and will and wants to use you to share the good news in every way, shape, and form. He wants to use you to share what you've experienced and give it away. He wants you to be somebody that prepares the way for other people to experience Jesus. Just like John the Baptist prepared the way. This is the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. It began just as the prophet Isaiah had written. Look, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare a way. Malachi 3:1. Isaiah 40, verse 3. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him. Continue to look back at the things that were spoken in the Old Testament. It points to Christ, the Messiah who will come and rescue God's people. It gives details and predictions about the Messiah, the future, and how we are to know who he is. All the things in the Old Testament point to Jesus and his coming and us to be prepared for him and us to know that he is going to be here for us. God spoke to his people through prophets who were messengers of God. Be prepared. Be prepared. He's going to be here. He's going to come. He's going to make a way. And then 400 years of silence. 400 plus years of silence. And who does God use to break the silence? John the Baptist. John the Baptist, someone who's mentioned in all four of the Gospels. this weird dude. I don't know if I would hang out with a dude who's wearing this camel-haired coat and eating locusts. I know some people that probably would eat locusts, but they don't wear camel hair coats and they're not like covered in honey and stuff. Okay, they're not all of those things combined in one. They're like one or two of those things. He's a different dude. But the message that he carried, the heart that he wanted to deliver it with, I can get around that. I can follow that. I shared earlier, I might not have a doctorate. I might not have a master's in divinity or theology. I might not have those things. But I'll put my heart up against anybody that has them. I didn't grow up desiring to want to be a pastor. As a matter of fact, I grew up a scared, broken, depressed little boy in this town. And then I met a girl who introduced me to Jesus. And I experienced the good news. And now I will do anything for others to experience it. I will do anything to get everybody else in this town and the surrounding towns and the surrounding towns around those towns to experience Jesus. His message changed my life. And I wanted everybody to know about it. So I got baptized. A bunch of you in this room have got baptized because you received the good news and you wanted everybody outside to know about the work that God did in your heart. You may be sitting in this room today and you need to get water baptized. You've never been. You want people outside of your close-knit of friends or family to know that you want to be fully identified with Jesus through water baptism. Take that step. I want you to take that step. I want you to stop just coming to church and start being the church and represent everything that Jesus has done in your life. If you haven't gotten signed up or gotten more information about being water baptized, get to the connection point, then we could have a discussion. Matthew 11, verse 11 says, I tell you the truth, all who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. Whoa. John was the greatest in that God chose him to break the 430 years of silence that had existed since the prophet Malachi. John was so anointed to bridge this gap between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Imagine how puffed up John could have gotten. Like, man, this is me. I'm pretty great. I'm being used in such a mighty, mighty, mighty way. You can start to feel a certain way about I'm the bearer of this good news. I'm doing all this stuff. But John the Baptist recognized so much so that he needed to decrease and make sure that in every single way God increased. In John verse 30, chapter 3, it says, he must increase and I must decrease. John knew that he wasn't to receive the credit in any way, shape, or form. He wasn't to receive the honor, the fame, the glory, but his role was to point people to Jesus in every single way and every single opportunity he had. So if you've entered into this place and if you've entered into a relationship with Jesus and you have experienced the good news for yourself, I have a question for you. I have a question for you in all seriousness. What needs to increase in your life? How does Jesus need to increase in your life? With your time and your devotion to him and your time, how does Jesus need to increase? Are you devoting your time to him? If you look at your calendar, is church the only time that is devoted to him? An hour and 15 minutes on Sunday mornings. Is that all that's devoted to him? Is that the only time that's allotted for him? Where do you need to decrease and he has to increase? Is your devotion time scheduled throughout the week? Does he get the first of your time? Or does he get the leftovers? I know so many people, I got to get home and watch my shows. Your shows can wait, and they're all on Netflix or Hulu or Paramount or whatever streaming service now. Everybody's like, I canceled cable. Yeah, but you're paying for 46 streaming services now. You think that you really stuck it to Xfinity. What are you doing with your time? What about, how does Jesus need to increase in your finances? Are you honoring him with your finances? How does Jesus need to take full priority in your talents? There's people in this room that you're going to share the good news in areas that I'll never have an opportunity to walk into. I don't work where you work. I don't live where you live. I don't shop where you shop, some of you. I don't get to go into your world on a daily basis. You get to make sure that Jesus is increasing and you're decreasing in all of those areas of your world. Here's another area that you can make sure that Jesus increases and you decrease. The Pittsburgh missions trip. It's an amazing opportunity for you to share the good news. And you may be thinking, it's all day Friday and all day Saturday, and it costs $25. I don't know if I can do it. What does the $25 go to? Well, number one, you get a t-shirt that we all wear for the whole entire trip. So that's one thing. And then there's food throughout the whole entire weekend. And then there's hydration throughout the whole entire weekend. And then there's things we do throughout the whole entire weekend. So I think $25 is a bargain. It's actually probably going to save you money from if you don't go out to eat on Friday night and you don't go out to breakfast on Saturday morning and then brunch. And then if you don't go shopping on Saturday, it's probably going to, $25 is probably going to save a lot of you money. And it's going to get you to not just go on a missions trip, it's going to get you to then live on mission for the remainder of the year until we go on another Pittsburgh missions trip. The Pittsburgh missions trip is created not to just get you to serve for 36 hours. It's created to get you to see that you can serve every day of your life in the community that you live in. That is what the Pittsburgh missions trip is designed to do. Not to get you to go on mission, but to live on mission. So, are you going? Jesus said that John the Baptist was the greatest among all men because he knew the mission. He served the mission. Jesus said that about John the Baptist, yet John said this about Jesus in verses 7 and 8. John announced, someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I don't even know if I'm worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but soon he will come and baptize you with the Spirit. The greatest among all men said he was not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of Jesus' sandals. So many times we can get prideful and think that we're to be served, but we're the ones that are here to serve in every capacity. We're here to serve in every capacity that there is so that we can decrease and he can increase. You want to take a guess of how many people it takes to make sure that a worship experience takes place every single Sunday? Let's take a guess. Two worship experiences at Bridge City Church, the White Oak campus. Take a guess how many people. 30? That's one guess. 22? That's one guess. 47? That's a good guess. 65? That's a good guess. 60 each? That's a good guess, Chuck. Anybody else? I'm not going to tell you the number because it's there's always room. Okay, but I'll give you an idea here. You may think there's not room for me to serve in children's ministry. Actually, there's four rooms. There's four rooms for you to serve in children's ministry if you're gifted to encourage, empower, equip, and challenge the next generation. There's four rooms. Actually, if you think about it, there's four rooms times two on Sunday morning, so there's eight rooms. And soon there's going to be four rooms times three, so that's what? 12. 12 rooms for you to serve in on a Sunday morning. You may think, I don't like kids. Good, don't serve in the children's ministry. We don't want you to serve there. We want you to be somebody that, I'm full of hospitality. I make people feel welcome and cared for. I make them feel welcome. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We have 7 doors that you would be more than welcome to stand at and welcome people at. Times 2. So how many doors is that? 14 doors. Times 3 soon. So how many doors is that? Look at that. Math is easy. Not all of us went to McKeesport. Listen, I got a great education at McKeesport. I'm just kidding. Anyways. Once numbers got involved in math, I checked out. Numbers, yeah. Numbers were always involved. First worship experience, yeah. Thank you, Matt. That's what elders are for. Once letters got involved in math and shapes, it should just be numbers. Okay? That's why I had you guys do the multiplication. I said it, you guys did it. There's room for you to serve, for you to decrease and Jesus to increase. So we know who John the Baptist is. We know what Jesus said about him. We know what John the Baptist said about Jesus. Who's Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? Because we've been talking this whole time about the good news. We read 8 verses in the book of Mark. We're going to spend all of this time in this series in the book of Mark. So you could read ahead. Throughout summer, we're going to be in the book of Mark. Read ahead. But today, it's starting with the good news. Who do you say that Jesus is? Who is he to you? The question demands an answer. What is the good news, and who is Jesus to you? If I ask you if a restaurant is good, I demand an answer. It demands an answer. If you ask me if a restaurant is good and I tell you, I'm going to tell you the truth. If you choose to go against my recommendation, that's on you. Somebody called me and asked me for a recommendation once. They didn't wait for me to give it, and then they went, and things happened, and I was like, listen, that's on you. And they're still telling me that it was my fault. I'm like, no, it wasn't. I would not have co-signed the egg foo young you ordered there. I would have told you that was not smart. Here's my answer. Jesus is my Savior. I've known him almost longer than I didn't. Jesus saved me from a life without purpose. Jesus saved me from a life full of depression, fear, anxiety, brokenness, and death. Surrounded by death. Not just physical death, emotional death, financial death, death. I was a broken, scared, depressed little boy. And I didn't meet Jesus when I was young or a baby. I met Jesus when I was a man by the world's standards. Jesus taught me everything about what it means to be a son. Jesus taught me everything about what it means to be a brother, a father, a husband. Jesus taught me everything about what it means to have purpose, to walk in it. Jesus taught me everything about what chasing after him means and being sanctified on a daily basis. Do I have it all figured out? Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, some days I think, man, I have way less figured out than I thought I did in all the areas that I just listed. But I'm thankful for him and that he's my Savior. I mess up daily. Ask Rachel. She'll give you receipts. Messed up this morning. Apologized on the way here. It was involving laundry. Just be honest. I'm an honest guy. Sorry. Again. I couldn't find my jeans. Jesus is everything to me. Who is he to you? We're going to start to land the plane. And in Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 29, Jesus and his disciples left Galilee and went up to the villages near Caesarea Philippi. And as they were walking along, he asked them, "Who do the people say that I am?" Well, they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say you're one of the prophets." Mark 8, verses 29 through 30. Then he asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "You're the Messiah." So I ask each and every one of you again, who is he to you? The reason I'm asking is I want you to be so sure in your heart I want you to know so confidently who he is. Your relationship can continue to get stronger and stronger and grow, and I want that to happen. But I want you to have an answer. Because I don't want it to be too late when you figure it out. I don't want you to figure out who he is too late. Mark 15, verse 39, we see an example of a man who figured it out. When the Roman officer who stood facing him saw how he had died, he explained, "This man truly was the Son of God." I'm going to share a story with you that I didn't have during the first worship experience. But I have it now, thank God. There's a man named John who gave his life to Jesus during the first worship experience. He had a heart attack a week prior. You want to know what his heart attack was called? It was called the Widowmaker. You can imagine why they call it the Widowmaker. Because you usually do not survive it. Your heart pretty much explodes. He survived it. He survived the surgery. And he didn't know where he was. He knew where he was going. But now he knows he knows. He said, "I couldn't wait to get to a place because I ran my whole life." He knows now. Can't wait to get baptized next week. We have to clarify if he's okay to be fully submersed. Okay, we don't want to like send him to go to be with Jesus. We're going to clarify all these things. He's like, "But I know where I'm going." I'm like, "Yeah, but we don't want to send you there." So we're going. Do you know where you're going? You're not promised tomorrow. The only thing you're promised is an eternity with him if you've received him. I don't want you to be standing before God and say, "Man, they were right. Everything that was preached to me my whole life was right, but I didn't accept Jesus. I ran away my whole life. I wish I would have experienced heaven a little bit sooner, like on earth. Like we're supposed to. We're supposed to experience portions of heaven here on earth." So do you have a day, a time, a place where you've received him? If you don't, I want today to be your day, just like it was for John during our first worship experience. And I'm going to ask you to do one of the bravest things you'll ever do, but definitely the best decision you'll ever make in your life. Just slip your hand up to heaven and say, "God, that's me. I don't have a day. I don't have a time. I don't have a place, but I need one. I need a day where I've repented of my past. I've accepted your forgiveness, and I now call upon you as Lord," which means leader and boss. So leader into your future. If you don't have a day, a time, or place, let today be your day. Just reach your hand up to heaven and say, "God, that's me. I need somebody to pray with me. I need somebody to walk me through that decision." Anyone at all today? Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Father God, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for who you've called us to be. Lord, I thank you for the good news, and I thank you for the opportunity that we have to go and share it. God, may we walk out of this place with great faith and great boldness to go and share it in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our families, in our friend groups, in the grocery stores that we go into, in the restaurants that we are regulars at. Lord, I pray that you would give us just a newfound boldness to share your good news, the things that you've done in our lives, the things that can't be debated, Lord. God, I pray that as we share a changed and transformed life, Lord, that people would just recognize the things that you've done in our lives and they would desire it, Lord. God, I pray that everything that you're doing in this place would just be a sweet aroma to the community that surrounds the campuses that you've placed of Bridge City Church throughout this city, Lord, in North Braddock, in Brighton Heights, in Murraysville, Lord, and here in White Oak as well. And God, I pray for every community around this campus, Lord. I pray for McKeesport and Versailles and North Versailles and Elizabeth Township, Lord, God. And I pray for Irwin and North Huntington, God. I pray for even as far as Greensburg, Lord. God, I pray for every community, for the neighbors that these people represent, Lord. Cities that I didn't even pray for, Lord. God, you know them. God, may the good news permeate those neighborhoods. In Jesus' glorious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.